We've been talking about kind of a short series on who you are, okay? And we started with that. I'll kind of explain some of that, why we were talking about who you are, and then this week is who God is, okay? And why we did it that order instead of doing it the other way around. I'll kind of explain that here in a few minutes, but we're going to press in and see who God is. I think there's something that we need to know and ways to be able to explain God to people and be able to understand. We sing it. We sang some songs this morning. Our God is healer. Our God is power. And those are definitely true. Well, let's press in. Let's start with some prayer this morning. So, Father, we are yielded vessels to you. Father, we pray that you overflow our cup, Lord, this morning, as you've already done. You laid your life down to die, to shed your blood for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, to change us, our life, so that we could be different, so that we can be who you have created us to be. So, Father, as we press into your word this morning of who you are, I pray that you quicken your word, make it alive, make it jump off the page, stand out, become real and tangible to us in your presence, Lord, in your love, your grace, your forgiveness, your healing, your protection, all the provisions, all the things that you provided through your grace. Lord, we openly accept it this morning. We receive it by faith, we say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. So let me start with kind of describing a scene that's in the Bible. It's probably a pretty famous description. It's one where Moses was being summoned back into ministry. Okay, and if you remember, there was anybody remember or hear of the burning bush, right? This bush that started on fire. Okay, well, Moses was tending his sheep, and all of a sudden, off in the distance, he sees a bush that is on fire, and he kind of pays attention to it like any of us would, right? If we're out grazing our sheep, and we notice a fire off in the distance, and he pays attention, and you notice it just doesn't go out. Something is different about this. So it holds his attention long enough that he decides he's going to leave the sheep to go see why this bush is still burning. Why is this bush not burning out? There's something there. So he finds out when he gets over there that God was basically using that bush to get his attention, to get him over there, to get him alone so that he could speak into his life, give him instructions about what he should do, kind of the direction that the instructions for the calling, the specifics of what he wanted Moses to do for him. God tells Moses at that time that he has seen the suffering of his people, okay, meaning the people of God, and that he is going to send Moses to deliver the people of God from the Egyptians to whom they had been in bondage for over 400 years. Well, Moses is in a lot of ways like us in this sense that he knew who the Lord was, right? It wasn't like the first time, oh, he's hearing his voice, I wonder who that is. He knew who the Lord was. In fact, he was enamored with so much reverence for God that he could not even face God, not even look at God as God was giving him the instructions and talking to him. Moses' first response when God took a breath, so to speak, and stopped telling him what the plan was going to be, Moses' first step that he took was to examine his own life and the worthiness for such a calling. In fact, he literally asked God, he says, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Okay, now this in part is what we've been doing for the last couple of Sundays. We've been talking about who we are, right? So we come to church because we have an understanding of who God is. Anybody heard of God before? Right, everybody has. Okay, so we have an understanding of who God is. Okay, we're here in a place of worship today because of that. We came to a place to meet with God, so to speak, to have our time with God, or a more intimate time with God. We looked at who we are in Christ, okay, to remind ourselves we are not the same as we once were. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Something changed. Something on the inside began to change, and it's showing more on the outside every single day. We've had an encounter with God, okay, that has changed us from the inside out. But just like we're going to see here in this conversation between God and Moses, we need to take it a step further than just knowing about God or knowing that God is real. Okay, not only do we need a reverence for God, not only do we need to know who he is and who we are in relation to him. That's what we've been talking about. But we also need to know who and how to tell other people who he is. Okay, who do you tell? How do you explain to others who God is? Let's look at a scripture here as we read on in the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 12. God is talking to Moses and he says, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought my people forth out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses says unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Okay, so when people ask you about your faith, okay, they know you're a Christian, you're a churchgoer, you're a believer. When they ask you about your faith, who do you tell people that God is? Who do you tell people that God is? You know, we talked about on Wednesday night how your life is a living testimony unto God. Okay, but if you were asked to elaborate a little more about your God to someone, what would you say? Moses knows God has done something. He's given me an assignment here, and I need to go and to tell these people what he's telling me to do, what he's calling me to do, to be who he's calling me to be, this deliverer. And he's asking him, so when I go unto these people, I come to God of their fathers has, you know, with this mission, but who I tell them sent me. This is where God gave all encompassing. When Moses asked him, "Who should I say that you are?" God responded, "I am who I am." Right? King James says, "I am that I am." Let's read that. It's Exodus 3:14. God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." Okay, now, there is only one that can be the great I am, right? That was a pretty solid answer for God to say, "I am who I am." Okay, I am, right? That's the way that comes across. There's really only one that can be that great I am. Okay, but the profoundness of that answer, that's pretty deep stuff if you really think about it. The profoundness of that answer needs a little bit of explanation for the everyday Joe and Susie, right? What does that mean when he says, "I am that I am"? Okay, so for the next couple of weeks at least, maybe three, we're going to look at who the great I am is. Okay, and what we're going to do is add to our ability to explain who God is. Okay, so if somebody comes into your life and, man, you go to, how come you go to church? Or why do you believe? Or whatever it is, that you will be able to say, "My God is," and fill in that blank. Now, in the New Testament, there's a pretty simple answer given to that question of who God is. It's almost as profound as that "I am that I am," but it's kind of the New Testament version. Most of you could probably fill in this blank if I said, the New Testament says, our God is love. Hey, you got that a little quicker. I got to tell you, I said that to Margie last night. She named 9 things God is before she got to love. Okay, and all I wanted was God is love. I'm like, after one thing, no, that's not it. God is our healer. No, that's not it. God is, and so there is the reason because of that is that there are so many things that God is, and that's why we're going to talk about this. God is love is really what I was looking for. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." Okay, so first and foremost, our answer if somebody says, "Who is your God? Tell me about him." Our God is love. 1 John 4:16, he says it again. He says, "We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Okay? You have to grab on to the love of God. Okay? The love of God for you is so deep. Okay? It is so powerful. It is so, I call it blanketing. Okay? You ever get under one of them really, they call them, what, weighted blankets or whatever? They kind of weigh. It's like the love of God is blanketing over our life, so much so that everything in your life must be done under the overlay of this love. Okay, in fact, when a lawyer asked Jesus what the greatest commandment in the kingdom of God is, okay, here's his answer. It's Matthew 22:37. Jesus says unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Okay, this overarching quality of God comprises not only God's love for us. Okay, that's got to grab that. Okay, just to receive salvation, you got to understand God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. You got to grab that. It encompasses God's love for us. It encompasses our love for God. Okay, anybody that loves God is known of God, the Bible says. But it also embodies our love for one another, Christ and beyond. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Okay, it's that overarching thing. It is the love of God. Love for us, love for him, and love for one another. You know, if there's any quality or any characteristic that should be present in the life of someone who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ, anybody who believes in God and has claimed Jesus Christ as their Lord, above all qualities, it must be this love. Okay? We have to love one another. Receive God's love, love him, and love one another. Our life should be a reflection of God's love for us that is then demonstrated through love for others. Jesus said in John 13:34-35, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you should love one another as I have loved you." Okay, that's that reflection. He has loved us, so we can't help but love one another. 35 says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." It's critical for the body of Christ to love one another. That's how we are known as followers of Jesus Christ. God's love manifesting in and through your life is more than just a feeling. It's not just feeling the love of God. This is bigger than that. God's love manifesting in and through your life has some very tangible benefits. Okay, things that demonstrate to us and through us the power of the love of God. Okay, let's look at some of that. I want to show you how Paul worded that. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 4, we'll read a couple verses here. Paul is describing some of what happened here, and he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." Okay, get that? "For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened," or made us alive together with Christ, "for by grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Why? "So that in the ages to come," that's now, "he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Faith in Jesus unlocks something in our life as a believer. Okay? It unlocks some benefits. Because of God's great love for us, he has determined to pour out into us noticeable, quantifiable manifestations of his grace. Okay? He pours it into our life simply because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe, therefore, get this. It's like you you receive a gift, and then you open that gift up, and within that box there's this and there's that and there's all these other things. That was the package. That was the grace package. That's what he gave you simply because he loved you. Now, just one of those demonstrations, okay, just one of the things that we open up out of this box of grace that God has given to us is the powerful love that manifests through his grace in the form of healing. Okay, healing. We sang a song a little bit ago. Our God is power. Our God is healer. Our God is healing. You know, after God used Moses to lead his people out of the bondage of Egypt, he told them, he gave them some instructions. He told them to diligently hearken unto his ways. Do that which is right in the sight of God, giving ear unto his commandment. And then he says this, it's Exodus 15:26. He said, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." God wanted them to know, and he wants us to know, that he is the God that heals. He is our healer. You know, seeing God as our healer is one of the things that I latched onto as a young Christian believer. I gave my life to Jesus many years ago, and one of the things that stood out to me was this love that God has for us, and because of that love, he was willing to heal and to manifest healing in our lives. In fact, many years ago, as you remember, this will date a little bit, but if you go back to the times when emails were just kind of getting big, right, and everybody had to have an email, and you had to kind of pick your email, whatever, okay, well, I had one for work and whatever, and at some point, I had to come up with a personal email, okay, and I'll tell the whole backstory here. I made one called Indeed Living Freely, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am therefore indeed living freely. Okay, that was my original one. Guess who stole that? Okay, some lady in that next room there. I gave her that one. Okay, she did, I don't know what to make up. Just give me your email. So I did. So I made up another email. It literally says, "God is healing at yahoo.com." I'll probably get all kinds of spam emails because we put this out on YouTube and stuff. But "God is healing at yahoo.com." That's my email. That little phrase, it sort of summed up, kind of encompassed it. Everything that I know about God is that he loves enough to heal. God is healing. That simple phrase has been a message to anybody who got my email, and it's been a reminder for me all these years that God is healing. It has stirred up probably 100 conversations over the years of, Why is your email, you know, I love your email. You know, Christians especially, they say, "Oh, I love your email." Yeah, our God is a healer. You know, we'd start a conversation. As David praised our God, he said this. It's in Psalm 103, the first few verses. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." See, the healing benefit of God is much more than just the healing of a broken bone, okay, or the healing of a disease or an illness or a sickness. The healing of God is much more than just that. In fact, I'll give you a definition. It's from the Lexham Theological Word Book that I use. It defines healing like this. It says, "Healing is the restoration of body, mind, or spirit to a state of wholeness and being. This restoration may be physical, as in recovery from illness or injury, or spiritual, as in the forgiveness of sins and justification before God. Ultimately, healing is embodied by Jesus, as he healed the sicknesses of many in his earthly ministry and secured the ultimate healing for all in his death on the cross and subsequent resurrection." Healing is massive. all throughout the Bible, and even now in modern times, we see and hear numerous stories of the healing power of God. I've told many of just personal testimonies. People have come and asked for healing. We'd pray for them. Sometimes they didn't even come and ask. We just saw the need and laid hands on people and prayed, and they come back saying, I was completely healed. We've seen cancers healed. We've seen people that had broken bones, dislocated shoulders, all kinds of things. Somebody was going blind in one eye. All these times where people laid hands, or I laid hands on them, and they were healed of this problem, this issue, this disease, whatever it was. In the Bible, for example, we read in 1 Kings about the account of a widow's son that was being healed by God when called upon by Elijah. Okay. The widow, if you remember, in 17, but the widow is used by God to provide for Elijah out in the land. And her son, Rick, let's read this passage. It's in 1 Kings 17:17. It says, it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And now there's a whole lot more to this story, but in essence, God didn't want the widow going around saying, the man of God stayed at my house for a while and then God made my son sick and die. So he took that whole situation, and what does God do for those that love him? He works all things together for good. So he turned it around and made it into a healing testimony for the woman instead. The man of God prayed unto God and God healed my son. That sounds much better than the man of God lived with me and my son got sick. Okay? God had a better way to make that come to pass. We read stories all throughout the Bible. Like in the book of Daniel, we read how King Nebuchadnezzar, it says he looked to heaven and he was healed of his insanity. We know the book of Job tells how Job was afflicted. He had terrible disease and loss in his life. And when he had prayed for his friends who had been criticizing him for suffering, Job was not only healed, but everything in his life was restored many times over. The book of 2 Kings tells us about a Shunammite woman who served the prophet Elisha. Okay, with her gift of hospitality, she housed him when he was in town, so to speak. The Lord healed her first of barrenness, where she couldn't have children. But then one day her son, who she had bore, went to the field to see his father, and while he was there, began to complain about a pain in his head. The servant took him home to his mother, but sometime after that he passed away. That Shunammite woman went quickly to Mount Carmel to fetch Elisha. Elisha returns with her, goes into the room where the boy was. The Bible says Elisha laid out nose to nose with the boy, and he began to get warm. The prophet got up and he walked around the room, and then he laid on the boy a second time. And the boy sneezed seven times, and then his eyes opened. And it always makes me chuckle when I think about him sneezing seven times. Did Elisha have really bad breath, maybe? Are you guys with me? Maybe he had a beard and his beard tickled his nose. Why did he sneeze seven times? There's a mystery in that. You know, Jesus, our Lord, walked the earth as Emmanuel, right? God with us. And while he did, he healed over and over and over. In fact, about a third of his ministry ended up being healing. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says this. It says, Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew walked arm in arm with Jesus, and he tells us about a centurion that went to Jesus for healing for his servant. His servant was on the brink of death, and Jesus says, because of the man's great faith, that he had not seen such faith in all of Israel, he says, go thy way. As thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. And the man's servant was healed that very same hour. You know, on another occasion, a man with leprosy was instantly cleansed by Jesus. It's in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. It says, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. You know, Luke tells how when Jesus was on his way to Jairus's house to heal Jairus's little girl who was sick, a woman who had a chronic illness. Bible tells us she had had it for 12 years. She was also in that crowd. And as Jesus is weaving his way through the crowd, this gathering, the woman reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, and immediately she was healed. You know, an important part of that story is that she didn't expect Jesus to say anything, to do anything, just to be who he was. All she had to do in her mind was by faith, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. What she chose to do was to put herself in close enough proximity to reach out and touch Jesus. Remember what I said earlier about the presence of God is where it's at? Get close enough to Jesus that you can reach out and touch him. That you have that sort of a relationship. He's not out in outer space somewhere. He's not in a church building. He is here with you now. And you have that sort of a faith agreement, that relationship with him, that you believe and trust that he is right here with us right now. I can have this conversation and I can touch Jesus. You know, maybe you've had some sort of a physical ailment in your body. Maybe you've had something that's been there for a long time. You know, that does not mean that you need to get in agreement with that illness or that pain or whatever and say, yeah, I guess you're going to be with me for the rest of my life. Get out of agreement with that and get in agreement with Jesus. Okay? Jesus doesn't want you in pain or suffering. Jesus wants your light to shine bright. Okay? And if manifesting a healing in your life will help bring that to pass, he will bring it to pass. You know, you get yourself into the presence of Jesus and then by faith reach out and touch him. And you know, it doesn't have to. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I don't have any major things going on in my life. You know, it doesn't have to be some major critical illness in order for Jesus to come and heal. Okay, if you remember Simon's mother-in-law, it says that she had a fever. Jesus was more than willing to rebuke that fever and get rid of it. She ends up getting up and serving them supper. You know, maybe you just have a headache. Maybe you're just feeling down. Maybe your elbow hurts, whatever. The Lord loves you and doesn't want you to be suffering. What glory is he getting out of that? You can't go here, can't go there, can't do stuff, can't be around people, whatever, because you're suffering. Turn it to Jesus. So I said earlier, sometimes I don't think we take stuff to Jesus. We're afraid, what if? What if I pray and nothing happens? You know what I do? I pray again. Keep at it. Be persistent. You know, all these people that I've been telling you about were people that just went to Jesus. They're people that called on the power of God. They called on Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And they were healed in God's timing. Some, as they went, they were cleansed. Some, like the leper, were healed instantly. The woman with the issue of blood had had it forever, but poof, like that, it's gone. There's many different ways that God does it, but it always happened in God's timing and in God's way. So if you're ever asked who your God is, you know that you can say, my God is love. But you can also say, my God is healer. My God is the healer. Amen. Amen. Father, we are praying this morning. We are lifting our hearts and our minds up to you. God, I want to pray right now and just speak healing over each and every person in this room. Lord, that all the physical ailments, the things going on in the minds, the things that we need deliverance from, that, Lord, you rectify that. Take care of it, Lord. Your word is true, and your word says that you are the Lord that heals. You're the Lord that delivers. You're the Lord that puts us in a better place. So this morning, we engage our faith. We trust in you. We've seen what you can do. We've read the stories. We hear it in our hearts. Your word has quickened our faith inside that we believe and we trust in you. So, Father, I pray for healing. I pray for it to manifest as a manifestation of your love and grace for us, that it manifests in our bodies. As we leave here today, may we be different, not just in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm as well. God, we are yielded vessels to you, trusting for you to pour all that you want into us, Lord. And we openly reach out and receive the benefits. We reach out and receive of that grace, and we take it into our life and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for being our God who is love, our God who is healer, our God who provides, takes good care of us. And Lord, we thank you and we say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.